Welcome to Kinsey Confidential. This is your opportunity to ask questions about sex and have them answered. I'm Dr. Debbie Herbenik, a sexual health educator at the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. Here is today's question.
I'm a 22-year-old woman and have almost entirely lost my sex drive. I'm in the mood for sex perhaps once every 2 months, and even then it takes me a long time to get my body into a state of arousal that makes intercourse possible, even though all the plumbing and hardware works fine. This is a huge departure from the past, when I have consistently had a very strong sex drive. But about 3 years ago, my sex drive rapidly dwindled and disappeared over a period of a few months. My low sex drive is causing me to fear intimacy because it could lead to sex, which feels like a dreaded, somewhat painful chore, which is destroying my relationship. I have no desire for anyone at all and have even stopped masturbating. I read that oral contraceptives are increasingly being shown to have a negative impact on sex drives in studies. I have my annual GYN exam soon, and I'm wondering what other options might work for us. Condoms are not an option for my boyfriend for very real reasons. What can we do?
We get some version of this question regularly, which basically boils down to this. Is it true that oral contraceptives, such as the birth control pill, and other hormonal birth control are linked to low desire among women? And if so, what other options are available for couples who want to have sex but don't want to become pregnant? First, it is true that hormonal contraception has been linked with low desire among women. That said, we need significantly more research to understand the why and the how and whether there are certain brands of birth control pills or other types of hormonal contraceptives that are less likely to cause sexual side effects than others. There isn't much funding available for this type of research, which is a shame given how many couples it impacts. As for options, condoms are an option for many couples, but some, like you two, don't feel they're a good option. If size is an issue, you two might consider looking for smaller or larger size condoms that will be comfortable for him. If he's had emotionally difficult experiences related to condom use, say perhaps he was molested as a child and the sexual experiences involved an adult man who was wearing a condom, he may find it helpful to meet with a counselor or therapist to talk about any issues that are currently interfering with his life. Intrauterine devices called IUDs are an option as well. While there are hormonal IUDs available, there's also a non-hormonal IUD available, and you may find it helpful to talk with your healthcare provider about the IUD as an option. It's more expensive in the short term, but if you're not planning to become pregnant for a long time, if ever, it may be a very good option to consider. If your boyfriend can reliably, and I mean very reliably, ejaculate when he wants to and hold off until he's ready, for example, if he can easily control the timing of his ejaculation, then withdrawal, also called pulling out, is another option to consider. It's less effective than hormonal birth control, but it's more effective at preventing pregnancy than many people believe. Various natural family planning methods are yet another option that may interest you. They don't involve taking hormones. However, they're most effective when health educators and/or nurses or doctors walk you through the most reliable ways to tell when you're likely to conceive and when you're very unlikely to conceive. True, it means that some days of the month may be days you decide to skip sex so as not to become pregnant. But frankly, it sounds like right now there are far more days that you're skipping or rather avoiding sex because of your feelings related to low desire. Finally, although low desire is not necessarily in your head, you expressed ways that this frustrates you and is getting in the way of your relationship. This can become a difficult cycle full of challenging relationship dynamics. Meeting with a sex counselor or therapist, find one through sstarnet.org, may be helpful.
You can become a fan of Kinsey Confidential on Facebook and follow updates all week long. That's at facebook.com/KinseyConfidential, or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Find out more at kinseyconfidential.org. Our next question.
I had a yearly GYN exam in January and then started getting bikini waxes. I noticed some strange things going on down south, so I got another exam in June. After the exam, the doctor told me I had chlamydia. I've only had protected sex between the January and June exams, and my partner claims that they were uninfected. Is it possible to get chlamydia from a bikini wax?
Chlamydia is a bacterial infection, and it is transmitted sexually, so it is not possible to have gotten an infection from a bikini wax, or for that matter, a toilet seat or a towel. It is transmitted through vaginal, oral, or anal sex, and can usually be cured with certain antibiotics. Assuming that you used a condom correctly and every time that you had intercourse with your three partners, your risk of getting chlamydia would be very low unless the condom broke or slipped off. Unfortunately, condoms are often used incorrectly. Sometimes people engage in genital rubbing before putting a condom on. This type of sex play can transmit infections and is not considered safe or protected sex. Also, because chlamydia can be transmitted during oral sex, if you received oral sex from any of these three partners or any other partners, they could have transmitted the infection to you in that way. That said, your partners all stated that they do not have chlamydia. They may be telling the truth or lying, and you may never know. Unfortunately, lying occurs all too often in the context of sexually transmitted infections. One study found that only about half of some individuals who were infected with the human papillomavirus, HPV, felt it was important to tell their sexual partners about having HPV. In another study, about one-fourth of HIV-positive individuals did not tell their sexual partner that they had HIV. Unfortunately, even seemingly caring or committed partners sometimes lie in order to try and protect their relationship or their own pride or self-image. Good for you for being honest in contacting your previous partners. Some STIs end up being mild nuisances that are easily cured. Others cause bothersome symptoms or fertility problems, or they're life-threatening. It is important to communicate with partners about infection and testing issues, even when you cannot necessarily count on them to be honest with you. This is also why it's important to get tested, as you did. On our website, you can find additional information about STI symptoms, testing, and treatment.
Dr. Debbie Herbenik is a sexual health researcher and educator at the Kinsey Institute. Kinsey Confidential is produced by the Kinsey Institute for Research in Sex, Gender, and Reproduction, in partnership with WFIU Public Media from Indiana University. We need your questions. Submit them through our website, where you can listen to archived episodes of the podcast and read the blog. Find us online at kinseyconfidential.org.